Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What did you think of the brown helmet, Danny?
The helmet itself, and obviously this has been something that had been rumored. We knew this was coming. Nobody was surprised when the Browns unveiled the brown helmet yesterday. Like, this was not shocking stuff. I expected it to just be a disaster. I thought the helmet was going to be ugly, and brown and orange are really difficult colors to work with. Overall, I think the Browns do a good job with them. Like, I think their standard uniforms look pretty good. I think the orange helmets look pretty good. I think the white helmets look fantastic too.
Yeah.
I was expecting the brown helmets to look terrible. I just thought there's no way this is going to look good.
There's no way this is going to be such an eyesore. Can give you a good brown helmet.
Like, this, no, because who can give you a good brown helmet? Truthfully.
Fair.
Like, name a good looking brown football helmet. It's difficult to do.
Yeah. I can't find one for you.
It was better than I thought. I'm not saying it's good, because I don't think it's a good-looking helmet, but I think it looks better than I anticipated. I expected a disaster, and I'm just like, that's almost fine. Like, it's almost okay. I don't hate it the way that I thought it would.
It's very, very fine. That's her thing.
It's just very meh.
Yeah. So,
what did you think?
You mentioned brown helmets. Like, the first one that comes to mind is like the University of Wyoming helmet, where
brown and yellow, right?
Yeah, and like that looks, I think it looks so awful.
Right.
Like the color scheme, and part of it for me, I think, is like the shade of brown. And so that's why I think that this worked better than I expected, because the shade of brown, it was like a darker, sort of deeper brown. The one set of pictures they shared, it actually looked like it was like a charcoal gray helmet. Because, like, the angle and, like, the lighting, like, it was weird.
I actually think the absence of white on the helmet makes it look better.
Yeah.
Like, if this, because the stripes are just
that's
orange.
Very fair.
Like,
that's
if
very
they had
fair.
White in the stripes, I think it would make it look much worse than it does.
I think you're right about that. I also think, like, the matte concept was a good way to go about it. Like, I think that worked with, like, the uniform concept as a whole. And here's the thing. Like, I wasn't worried about an all brown jersey pant combo, because we've seen that before.
Like, and
the
it's
color
worked.
Rush. The color rush really, really worked. And these are sort of, I think, emblematic of those same jerseys.
It's an extension.
Yes. But what I thought was brilliant about the color rush was, like, you had this, like, brighter orange type color.
The orange was more orange.
And then you had the orange was orangier, or whatever the quote was. And then you had the orange helmet to go along with it. And so it just popped. Popped so well.
Right.
A brown helmet, like all brown. The one explanation I've heard that it's like, okay, I can see where they're going with this, is like other teams have like an all black concept. And it's like this deep sort of like, you know, it's kind of like that cool new concept that people go with where you have like an all black uniform set and it just says,
it looks good.
Yeah, there's something like cool and powerful and, you know, dark about it that you like. This is kind of their way of doing that because the Browns don't have black as a color.
Right.
And so I think from that standpoint, yes, I see what they're trying to accomplish. I liked it better than I thought I was. But I just, like, a brown helmet to me from the beginning has always made me just kind of go, and I just, the big question I can't get over is, like, who asked for this?
Nobody. That's the thing.
When they went away from, I call them the Victoria's Secret jerseys that had, like, Cleveland, because it had, like, it had browns on the pant leg.
Like the Johnny Manziel era ones?
Yeah. Like, and you remember, like, Victoria's Secret used to have the pants that just had, like, different words on the ass of it or whatever, like that. That's why I call it the Victoria's Secret uniform, because it was, like, they had, like, browns going on the pant leg or whatever. Yeah. Those uniforms were awful.
Terrible.
And the big thing everybody wanted after that was, like, go back to our classic, like, the classic Browns uniforms. They did that. They gave you that. Everybody was clamoring for it. And it's been awesome. It's great. We all love that look. The next thing everybody wanted was the white helmet. And there was talk for like years leading up to the white helmet being revealed that people wanted a white helmet. And I think they knocked that uniform out of the park. I haven't heard a single person ever mention to me like, you know what the Browns really need?
A brown helmet.
A brown helmet. I've heard I want a logo on there, which I actually think would have been the way to go. Put Brownie on there, whatever they wanted to do, the dog logo that they unveiled a couple years ago, whatever. Like, do that. I didn't need a brown helmet, and I don't know that anybody was asking for a brown helmet, so I still remain perplexed as to, like, what inspired brown being the thing that you were going to do. I just don't get it.
I think when the NFL lifted its restriction, the one shell rule, which was in place for a number of years, which was why teams could only have one color of helmet throughout the year. When they lifted that, I think teams thought, okay, well, now we can do throwbacks, which I think is a great thing. Like the white helmets that you brought up that the Browns have had for the past several years, I think have looked great. The Buffalo Bills are bringing back red helmets this year for their final game at Highmark Stadium before they move to a new stadium next year. And I think that stuff works so well. But it, on the other side of the spectrum, has allowed teams to experiment in ways that were probably better had they not done. And I think that this is part of it. And if you think back to prior to that rule being in place, like, do you remember when Pittsburgh had those yellow helmets for a year?
Yeah.
And they looked terrible. And it was kind of similar to this. It's just like, and black and gold is a much easier color scheme to work with. But those helmets looked awful.
Yes.
And it was kind of like, who is asking for this? Like, who actually wants this?
So the only reason those helmets kind of worked was because they did the same thing the Browns did with their original color rush, which was like you had the black jersey, yellow, like the yellow numbers and all that, and the yellow trim, and then the yellow helmet. And so it kind of all matched. It was still ugly, but it's kind of worked that way. But you're right. Like, I think people have taken this too far. And I think that's the other part of this is like, in a season where you just went 3-14, not very high expectations this year again, it feels like the Flex Seal commercial where it's like, hey, we don't have a franchise quarterback and we stink, but you know what? You know what? We'll give you another new uniform. And I'm not trying to sound like the old guy yelling at the cloud, because I usually get into some of this jersey stuff, but I also think like I subscribe in life to a rule, Danny, of like everything in moderation, right? The food I eat, how much time I spend with like work versus family, like all those things, like everything in moderation, right? You got to have balance in life or try to have balance. I think these things work better when it's like, you don't drop, you give some room, you give room for things to breathe.
So I want to be fair to like doing this when they've done this, because these things are finalized pretty far in advance. Like the Browns have had this lined up for, I would guess, 18 months. I would guess that this helmet was designed and finalized during the last time Joe Flacco was a member of the Browns. Like, I think that's how long ago these things are figured out. Like, we have all seen the mock-ups floating around of the Cavs going to have their throwback uniforms this year, right? The navy blue ones.
Yeah.
That's been finalized for a while. Like, their city editions that they'll wear this year, they've known exactly what those are going to look like for over a year. Like, these things are done pretty far in advance. So it's not as if the Browns went 3-14 last year and decided, you know what would really fix this? A third helmet. Like before they went 3-14, they knew they were going to have this uniform set and this helmet. It was already finalized. It's all like these things are not done on a whim. At the college level, they can be because they don't have to answer to the same governing body. They don't have to answer to the same uniform supplier. That these things can just be done on a whim in college with, because you look at like what Oregon does or even what Ohio State has done when they've had a black helmet or the black uniforms or the all gray look. Like they can kind of call up Nike a few months before and say, hey, what if we do this? Where in the NFL, the rules are stricter and they do have to have these things planned out far in advance. So I will push back on this. Like, this is not just some, you know, throw a brown helmet on a bad record and you make it look better, because I do think that they probably expected this team to be a little bit better when they were conceptualizing this.
Yeah, that's very fair in terms of like the timing it takes to get all this stuff done, and also fair, like the Browns have also had a lot of bad moments where like if they never put out a jersey, a new jersey combination after like a bad season, they'd have like three seasons that they could have ever done that in the last like 20 years. So that's very fair. I'll say this. You want to know what did work? The marketing, the way they marketed this thing.
Oh my goodness.
Because no, this, like, say what you want about the brown helmet. And I would push back on the idea that like they needed to rent a barge and put this giant helmet up. They did not need to go that far. But they got everybody was talking about it because of the faked guy falling off the barge. And everybody was talking about it. It was on like national news websites. It was on like For the Win, which is a site we like to use to like get, you know, off the beaten path stories outside of just like Cleveland. Barstool picked it up. Like everybody was talking about this. Was it fake? Was it real? So marketing on this helmet, A++. Helmet itself,
I think you find out that it's fake, it becomes lame. Like the guy falling into the lake, like that was that very clear. Like at first glance, when we saw that, it looked real. Like it looked, my God. But it's also, that was not it became a we're laughing at the Browns thing, which is all too common with this organization. Not a we are laughing with the Browns. We are laughing at the Browns.
But the Browns have been laughed at for so many years that I kind of appreciate the fact that they're like, you know what? They're going to laugh at us anyway. So let's just lean into it.
And I mean, to an extent, I would like to be laughed at when you're good. Like that is the thing. Like I can push back on the, this helmet has been designed and out there for a while. The marketing campaign does not need to be approved 18 months ago. They did not decide that somebody was going to fall into the lake 18 months before. They probably figured that out within the last couple of weeks. So like, I will push back on that part of it because I think that looks lame because it's like, oh, we're laughing at the Browns again. I will say,
how many months does it take to rent a barge in Cleveland? That's the real
probably
question.
Not long. If you're the Browns, if you have the money, the Browns have. The best part of it was the mascot throwing a life vest.
That was funny.
That was the funniest was part of it.
I think that's how you knew it was fake. Back out of here on The Fan, Spencer German, Danny Cunningham filling in for Ken and Lima. We'll be back tomorrow as well, this same duo. So looking forward to that, obviously, as well. And looking forward to another day of training camp out in Berea and there to cover everything that will transpire on day two of practice, of course. She's Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com joining us on The Fan Hotline right now. Mary Kay, how do you feel after day one? Are you sort of back in the swing of things, or is it going to take some time?
No, definitely back in the swing of things. I think once you get day one out of the way, it's go time. You just have to kind of work out some of the kinks and get the cadence down again on that very first day, and then it's off to the races.
Did you like Mary Kay? This is a very, not a deep question here to start us off, but Danny and I were just sort of riffing about the helmet reveal and everything and how we thought about it. What did you think of the Browns all brown uniform and the rollout of it yesterday?
I thought it was, it's the wave of the future with social media and with teams having really robust media departments now. These are the kinds of things that you're going to see from every team, and they like to have fun with these kinds of things. So they certainly brought a lot of attention to it, and the fall into the water, of course, went viral. So So, yeah, I think they did a nice job with
it. That's what I said. It was a success for that reason, Danny.
I mean, all eyes were on it. Mary Kay, I think the best part was still the mascot throwing a life vest to the guy who fell in the water. Like, that was the best part of the marketing from this whole entire thing. But and I understand that a lot of eyes were on the helmet, but more eyes, I think, are going to be on the way that Kevin Stefanski is handling the quarterback race or races, depending on how you want to look at this. What was your reaction to Joe Flacco not getting reps in 11-on-11 yesterday?
Well, not surprised at all. I've been writing about that a lot, that he doesn't need as many 11-on-11s, at least in the early going right now. They need to figure out what those younger guys can do. They have to get those quality reps. So while they're working through this early part and trying to sort out the depth chart, he doesn't need as many of those. So he's going to step back. I mean, he's got 18 years under his belt, and he just can probably show up week one and be ready to play. So I was not surprised by that at all.
Mary Kay, I know you've written a little bit as well about the timeline for choosing a quarterback. And of course, Kevin addressed that for the first time yesterday. And typical Kevin, of course, sort of beating around the bush with like when he's going to have a decision, but he did end his comments by saying sooner rather than later. What, as you sort of look ahead into training camp, when do you sort of envision them having a clearer answer on who that starting guy is going to be leading into week one?
I don't know if they will name a starter at this point, but I think that by the time they get home from Philadelphia,
yeah,
that game on August 16th, they have to know who their starting quarterback is by that point. Again, they might not come out and announce it, and they might let Kenny and Joe is what I think it'll come down to at that point. They might let those guys kind of finish it out a little bit. But I think by that point, they'll have it narrowed down pretty well. I think one of the interesting things from Kevin Stefanski yesterday was the fact that he said after these first 4 days of camp, where they're kind of two-spotting and doing some of the same things they did during mini camp, after these first 4 days, he will huddle up with Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, Bill Musgrave, the quarterback's coach, and reevaluate how they're going to do things after this little 4 day period. They have Sunday off, and then they will come back on Monday, and maybe there will be a little bit of a different vibe to it. We'll have to see about that, but I think they have to move quickly. I don't think you can spend a whole bunch of camp in a 4-way quarterback competition. It's not sustainable. You have to get your main guys ready to play.
Do you think it is a legitimate 4-way quarterback competition, or do you think it's a 2-man competition for the starting job, and then Shador and Dylan Gabriel are competing for that number 3 spot?
Well, right now, I think we can call it a 4-way competition, but I don't know that we will be able to call it that very much longer, or at least I don't think they should be calling it that very much longer, because you just cannot spend those valuable starting reps and those 11-on-11 reps on a guy who's not going to be playing. Normally, when you have 4 quarterbacks in camp, and the Browns always do, that 4th quarterback is just getting the crumbs, basically, or just taking the 4th team reps and not really siphoning any of those really, really good quality reps away from the starter. So I just think that they have to get to that point sooner than later if they want to have a cohesive offense at the beginning of the season.
The award-winning Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the Fan Hotline here this morning. Mary Kay, another thing Kevin Stefanski had a chance to really touch on or address for the first time yesterday was, of course, the Quinshon Judkins situation and everything going on with that. Again, classic Kevin Stefanski, he kind of beat around the bush, but he was asked more deliberately about just the messaging on to players, especially before they break for summer and things, and how like what they say and how important that is to them. Do you worry at all that those messages aren't getting through to the players and the team, when especially we have now back-to-back years where a rookie gets caught in sort of an off the field situation that doesn't, that the organization obviously frowns upon?
Well, the important thing that he said in addition to that is the fact that they will continue their efforts to educate players. And each of the last 2 years, they've brought in speakers. They've gone above and beyond the call of duty to try to make sure that they're educating their players on this topic. Last year, it was in 2024, it was DeAndre Hopkins' mom, Sabrina Greenlee, who has a really, really...
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Compelling story of domestic violence and how she's had to rebuild her life, and she was blinded in an incident. And if you get a chance to, I wrote a story about it, and she's also got a whole YouTube video out there when she came and talked to the Browns last year. Very powerful, very compelling. And then this year they had Lisa Friel, the NFL's special counsel for investigation who handles domestic violence incidents, in to talk to the players. So they are going above and beyond the call of duty. And when you look at each of the last two incidents, these guys were new to the NFL. They had just come out of college. And I don't recall there being, unless somehow it's just not something that you can find, I don't think that they had really any of those incidents in their past. Now, Mike Hall did have one minor incident with his fiance, yeah. But it wasn't, you know, something where he got charged with anything or anything like that. But they're trying, and they know that they have to work harder in this space.
Do we have a timeline for any sort of resolution on the Judkins situation?
Right now, no, but we will be talking to Andrew Berry today, and maybe he can shed a little bit more light on the situation. As of right now, no, I think the Browns are really investigating. I know the NFL is investigating, and everybody just wants to make sure that they have all of the information they need before they make any kind of a decision here.
And do you think that him not being signed, and I know that the reason he was not signed originally had nothing to do with any sort of off the field situation, because none of the second round draft picks really signed until very late. But do you think the fact that he has not signed a contract could complicate things even further?
Well, he has not signed the contract because of the situation now. So that's, it's not like they're at the negotiating table and they just can't get this figured out. The numbers are going to be what they are. That's not the problem. The issue is right now the Browns wanted him to focus on football, and the Browns wanted him to focus on his domestic incident. They want to focus on his domestic incident, and getting that contract signed and getting him into camp was not the number one priority at this moment. I'm sure they recognize that handing him $11 million, potentially all guaranteed, right now in this moment, while this is happening, it just probably wasn't going to be a very good situation for anybody.
Mary Kay Cabot, again, joining us here on the show this morning. More on the field standpoint with the running back situation, Mary Kay, and Quinshon Judkins' absence. Do you think the Browns at some point will look to add to this depth chart? We know they like having a number of bodies, especially during camp, in a number of different rooms, but especially that one. Is that something you think is going to be on the table for them once they maybe get more of a clear indication of what's going to happen?
Yeah, that will definitely be an option. They will have their eyes peeled for other running backs. And right now, Jerome Ford has a minor injury, so they're probably going to have to go out and get another running back unless Jerome is back by today or tomorrow or something like that. But as of right now, they really do need some help in that area. And again, we just don't know exactly when Quinshon will be back.
So Mary Kay, there was a clip floating around that the Browns put out on social media of Kevin Stefanski addressing the team, telling them to get used to practicing hard. Do you think that this is a departure from who Kevin Stefanski has been in the past as head coach of the Browns?
Yeah, we've been chronicling this since OTAs. This has been a theme. You know, these guys are walking around with T-shirts. Some guys have T-shirts that say, like, hardened and toughened and things like that. So this is a point of emphasis this year to get tougher, to be more intense. And this has been going on since the very first day of the off-season program. And now, of course, it's carrying through into training camp, but we've talked to Bubba Ventrone about it. We've talked to players about it. And I think it also stems in part from having Mike Vrabel here last year. I think Mike Vrabel helped instill more toughness into this football team. And I think he left the Browns with that message that they must get tougher.
Mary Kay, we know the quarterback competition is obviously the front and center topic that everyone's going to be paying attention to. But what is maybe the non-quarterback storyline that you're most intrigued by, following the most closely, and you know, going to be certainly documenting throughout the training camp experience?
Well, I think right now it's running back. I really do. Hmm. I think it's running back while they figure out what's going on with Quinshon. But we've talked about that enough already, so we can move on to something else. I think that wide receiver is another spot to look at and to see who's going to pick up that third receiver spot. You've got candidates in Jamari Thrash. Deontay Johnson is here trying to make this team and make an impact. You've got Mike Woods, and then a lot of young guys. So that's another area. And then second defensive end, I think that's a really nice competition going on over there. Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, Joe Tryon Shoyinka. And so that's another one to watch.
Mary Kay, I know that Joel Bitonio had some pretty nice things to say about DeJuan Jones at this point. What did you see from him on day one as far as how he looks? I know there's not necessarily much to glean from offensive linemen not in pads, but what are, I guess, fair expectations for him going into this season?
Well, he's got to play at a very high level at the most demanding spot on the offensive line. So he knows he's got a tall order. He knows he's got his work cut out for him. He's got one of the best in the business, if not the best defensive end in the business, getting him ready for the season in Myles Garrett. And one thing that, I mean, really stands out about DeJuan is the fact that he came into camp really trimmed down and in shape. And I think a lot of people wondered if he was going to be able to manage his weight when he had a broken leg last season. And he has done a really nice job with that. I'm sure he's working with the Browns' new nutritionists and weight staff and all of those folks. And they've done a really, really nice job getting him ready.
Mary Kay, we'll get you out of here with this one. We talked about maybe needing to add to the running back room. Given some of the inexperience at the wide receiver room, and obviously they're going to sort through a number of the guys that you mentioned to sort of figure out maybe who works in the slot or whatever. But we also know last year, Andrew Berry was pretty active in maybe trying to trade for a wide receiver, most notably Brandon Ayuk. Do you think that adding a wide receiver could be something on the menu for this team throughout the next month or so?
You know, I'm not feeling that as much as I did last offseason. I'm really not right now, and that is because I think that they're looking at the pass-catching core more globally this year. They're going to be in two tight ends or 12 personnel a lot more this season, so they will be using David Njoku, Harold Fannin. They're not going to be in three wides anywhere near as much as they were last year. So right now, this year, going out and spending big money on another wide receiver, I don't think it's a high priority. If something presents itself, they won't pass up a great opportunity, but I don't think they're out there clamoring for it right now.
She's Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com. Follow her on X if you don't already, Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, you know we always appreciate the time and the insights, and I will catch you over in Berea here in a little bit.
Sounds good. See you later.
See you, Mary Kay. Good stuff on the fan hotline from Mary Kay Cabot. She was tremendous, per usual. Yeah, the timeline for this quarterback competition is going to be fascinating, and I think Mary Kay hit the nail on the head in regards to how she thinks it's going to sort of play out here and when they'll sort of have a decision. I've talked about it. Like, those joint practices, they matter, and they use those as maybe their biggest evaluation tool. So by the end of the Eagles week where you have the joint practices and then that preseason game, I think that's probably the sweet spot. By the way, our training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Menor. So, yeah, I mean, I think Mary Kay is right on the timeline. I know people want an answer sooner rather than later. I thought it was interesting she shares, you know, this through Saturday. It's kind of, you know, funny. It's minicamp 2.0. It's what we saw in minicamp in terms of the quarterback rotation. And then by Monday, we might get a sense of, okay, the power shift has changed here. And it's the setup we've sort of talked about where it's like Pickett and Flacco are playing for a different thing than what Gabriel and Shador Sanders.
I mean, I think that's the case now still.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Like, I don't think that those guys, and maybe they have the illusion that they are being considered to be the starter, but I think that this is more so about, okay, what do you have? What are you capable of? What can we learn about you in this short time span? And it's not as if those guys are not going to get reps after Saturday, but I just do think that this training camp for those two, for Shador, for Dylan Gabriel, should be looked at in a different way than it should be for Joe Flacco and for Kenny Pickett. And I think that that doesn't have to, we don't have to wait for Saturday to know that. Now, is Saturday a good point for Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees to get together and talk about what they've seen so far? Sure. But I don't think that that's going to change anything. Like, I think that I am of the impression right now that it's a two-man race. And after Saturday, I think that it publicly everyone will be under that impression now, which is whether or not you want to admit right now that it's two separate two-man races as opposed to a four-man race.
What I'm interested in seeing is like how things do shift after Saturday, though. Like, do they do away with the two separate fields where it's Shador and Dylan on one and Kenny and Flacco on the other? Is it going to be, you know, Kevin Stefanski telling us that they've changed the structure and like, okay, now you can start paying a bit more attention to the rotation? Because right now he continues to say, it's going to be somebody different every day. Like, that's the thing I think I'm curious to see. But you are right. They've made it pretty clear where things stand with this depth chart at this current juncture. I don't know that that changes, like, drastically just like, even over the next 4 days. But the structure of practice and how they're utilizing it. And it makes sense, too. Like, you're trying to accomplish different things back in minicamp versus now. Back in minicamp, it is, let's get everybody acclimated. Let's get everybody up to speed. If we have new things we're trying to put into the offense, let's install them. Let's work. Let's get some of this stuff sort of put in. And then this time of year, and I told you guys earlier, like as of yesterday, 46 days until week one. Now it's about preparing for an NFL season. And so that is where, to Mary Kay's point, to even Joe Thomas's point earlier in the show, we played his audio. Establishing who that guy is sooner rather than later, it benefits everybody, certainly benefits the team, benefits the offense. And so I'm curious to see when it all comes to fruition. I think the Eagles joint practices is kind of the sweet spot, but I guess, like, I don't know, like, what is the your hope for a timeline on this thing and like understanding who the true starting quarterback is going to be?
I mean, ideally, I think it would be a little bit before that, at least internally.
Okay.
And I understand that teams, and I think this is the silliest thing ever, but teams want to have the so-called competitive advantage of keeping other teams in the dark and not knowing what you've got going on in Berea when everybody with a pulse knows exactly what's going on in Berea. I think ideally it's probably a little bit before that, but I would not be surprised if they don't announce a starter until after that, because they're going to want to, one, not make it so, they're going to want to make sure everybody has hope as long as they can that is in that room. They don't want to dash anybody's hopes of being the starter until they really have to. And I think that is part of keeping the mood in a good place, because it is a tough thing to deal with when you're one of these guys is going to be told, hey, you're not going to be our starting quarterback. You're going to be the backup. And how do they take that? I don't know. So I do think that is something to keep in mind as we go through this process. But I think that's probably a fair point. But I would expect everybody kind of sees the writing on the wall before we get there.
I hate that I'm asking this, because this is like the cliche preseason topic that always comes up, but
oh yes.
Do you need to see, or how much do you want to see any of these I'm not going to say any, because I think we all want to see like Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in preseason
like playing
games.
Preseason games.
But like how much if it's between Flacco and Pickett, and we know they're getting the work in these joint practices, which again, Kevin Stefanski and this team will tell you until they're blue in the face. Those are the sessions that matter the most. Those are the sessions they get the most out of. The preseason games are whatever. How much do you really need to or want to see like Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco in preseason games? And keep in mind, last year, there was a lot of outrage over the fact that Deshaun didn't play in preseason games. And there was that whole debacle where it was like, he's going to play in the third preseason game. He apparently didn't know he was going to play in the third preseason game, and it was news to him, and we mentioned it to him in a press conference. And then he didn't actually end up playing in that third preseason game because there was too many offensive line injuries, and they were worried about getting him killed. How much does that matter to you as you assess this team before the season?
Well, I think it's a different situation this year because we don't have to worry about a quarterback that so clearly can't play being thrown out there. Like Deshaun Watson very clearly could not play the position anymore. Yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why he was not thrown out there. But I also think
they knew it was going to be as bad as it was in practice where they were like, couldn't run a play. Cause yeah,
they wanted to hide from the world that Deshaun Watson's a lemon. Like, I think that's kind of what that was. But I look at this and say, okay, well, you don't have a franchise quarterback. You still do, and we know what Joe Flacco is, so maybe Joe Flacco needs a little bit less, but I still do think that he kind of knows what he needs to get ready for a season, and I would bet that some preseason football is part of that equation. I think Kenny Pickett needs preseason football. Like, I don't think that any of these guys are in a position where they don't need preseason football. And I think across the NFL...
That's well said, yeah.
Even some of the franchise quarterbacks, like... Joe Burrow is a franchise quarterback, and there's no debate there. Everybody believes that. But you know what? He's not really played in the preseason, and he has historically either been injured early in the season or gotten off to slow starts. And I think you can attribute some of that to not playing in the preseason. Matthew Stafford has also dealt with that stuff, who has not played a lot in the preseason. So I understand that you don't often want to take the risks that are associated with getting your quarterback hit in a live game. But I do think that to set yourself up for success early, you probably want to get some live action going before the real stuff starts.
My guess is you have joint practices one joint practice with the Carolina Panthers before the first preseason game. You're going to get a lot of Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco with that. My guess is they'll play like they'll do the old like, okay, those two guys or one of those guys gets a quarter in the first half, the other guy gets the second quarter in the first half. And then it's the rookies the second half completely. Then I think week two of the preseason, because you have the two joint practices with the Eagles, I'm guessing you'll see neither of those guys out there.
And you probably
won't see any of the starters out there. And then week three, I'm still trying to get a good read on like how teams treat week three of the preseason in a preseason that only is three games these days. But week three, I'm going to guess because most teams, I think, still sort of treat it as like the final dress rehearsal. So I'm going to guess you get, which is, I think, what the Browns intended to sort of do last year before they pulled the plug on Deshaun Playing. I'm going to guess that you get both, you know, those guys or whoever. By then, I think they have a better picture of who the lead guy is, like Mary Kay alluded to. And so you'll get the starting quarterback for a good chunk of that first half. And then you'll pull the plug, and then the conversation becomes about like, all right, is Kenny Pickett or whoever auditioning the rest of the game to be trade bait for some team out there when you get to roster cutdown day a couple days later?
And I think that stuff becomes overblown, like the trade bait stuff, because other teams know what you have. They know who you are. Like,
if Kenny Pickett convinces everybody he's an MVP candidate again, and he's got
I don't think anyone's falling
Maybe
for that.
Maybe he becomes more valuable and you can get a
Nobody is falling for that again. I do think that the... not playing the two guys that are candidates to be the starter after two joint practices in Philly makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think the other two preseason games they should play in. Like, I can understand, you know, those 2 days are probably going to be pretty heavy. Give the younger guys a chance in that preseason game against Philly. I think that's the right way to go, and I would imagine that's what Kevin Stefanski and the Browns will do. But I think the game against Carolina, I think the game against LA, why not play them?
Yeah. And I think that's probably how they'll sort of approach it, without question.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.